Fire Engineering Podcasts are sponsored by MSA. Firefighters want to be connected to each other, to dispatch, and to their commanders. MSA has created Lunar, a wireless, handheld device that includes thermal imaging, firefighter ranging, motion alarm, and cloud technology with GPS. It's part of the new connected firefighter platform from MSA. Learn more at msafire.com.
Welcome everyone to the second episode of APS Radio. My name is Jim Bernica. We've got a very special guest this week. He's Captain Tony Stefani from San Francisco Fire Department. He's been retired for a few years now, but he's also the president of the San Francisco Firefighter Cancer Prevention Foundation. So this episode is all about his diagnosis and creating this foundation and then all the great things that foundation has been able to do for the San Francisco firefighters, but really all the other firefighters out there as well. So without further ado, let's bring Tony in.
Thanks, Jim. In 2001, after about 27 years on the job, on a January morning, I went out for a run like I normally do. It was a beautiful day. And about 1 mile before I got back to the gym that I was working at, I had to stop and walk, and I was extremely tired. I didn't know what was going on. I got back to the gym, went to the bathroom, and basically urinated blood. And it was not a good experience. I went directly to my GP, and within 5 days, I was informed that I had a tumor in my right renal pelvis, and he was pretty sure that it was some type of cancer. I was referred to a doctor in San Francisco at UCSF, Dr. Marshall Stoller. And first time I met Dr. Stoller, he asked me what my profession was. And I told him I was a firefighter here in the city. And he said that you're exposed to a lot of chemicals. And I said, yes, I am. And he goes, the type of cancer you might have is the type of cancer we find in people that are normally exposed to a lot of chemicals. So he goes, we got to biopsy this and see what we've got going on. So they biopsied it. They found out I had transitional cell carcinoma. That's a rare form of cancer to be found in the kidney. It's normally found in the bladder. And in the general population, this type of cancer, when it's found in the kidney, it's normally one in 100,000 people. And I was one of them. And I was 49, just about to turn 50. So we ended up in March that year going into UCSF, and I had what's called a radical nephrectomy, where they removed my right kidney as well as my ureter. And so I was off on sick time. I tried to get this job related. I went through a QME, and the cancer was denied. And so I got to the point where I basically had no sick time, no vacation time left. This is after I was off for about 8 months going through treatment and recovery. And our local union, Local 798, stepped up to the plate, and they put out an ask on my behalf. At that time, we didn't have catastrophic sick pay or catastrophic situations where firefighters can donate time. And our union asked my fellow officers, I was a captain at the time, if they would be willing to donate some time to me. Well, 200 officers stepped up and gave me 1 day of time. So I was able to keep a paycheck on the table before I decided if I was going to get back in the profession, back in the firehouse, or if I was going to call it basically quits. And there was no way I could possibly repay them monetarily. It was just an extremely great gift that they gave me. So time went on, and I got to the point where it was a decision to go back to work. My doctor told me, Tony, you can't go back to work at Rescue One. It was a very busy company. And he goes, you're taking a chance. There's a possibility that this could spread bilaterally to the other kidney, or it could be it spread to the bladder, and you're going to have to be monitored every 3 months for quite a while, like normal cancer patients are with this type of situation. So I decided, I was then in the 28th year, and I decided that it was time for me to walk away from the job. Not that I wanted to, but basically I had to. And when I walked away from the job, another firefighter at Station 1 came down with transition cell carcinoma. Only this type of, he had bladder cancer. 6 months later, a third firefighter came down with transition cell carcinoma. I talked to Dr. Stoller at UCSF and I said, hey doc, we've got two firefighters at my firehouse that have both have transitional cell carcinoma, both in the bladder. And he goes, Tony, that's pretty unusual. You know, that's sort of like a cluster. Maybe we should take a look into this. And he goes, what, do you guys have any types of foundations or advocacy programs where you're looking at this problem? And we didn't. And this is, we're talking about just about 15 years ago now, when this foundation was formed. And I said, no, we didn't. So I said, you know, that might be a way for me to pay back the firefighters for what they did for me. Maybe I could put something like this together. It's not going to be an easy thing to do, but maybe something like this would work out well. And I went to the union, told them my idea. They said that was, it was a great idea. I went to the administration. They gave me 100% support. And the union gave us the seed money to start everything. They gave us $100,000, which is a good chunk of change. We put our board of directors together. We put our bylaws together. We got our 501(c) status. And we came up, became the San Francisco Firefighters Cancer Prevention Foundation that's been dedicated to the early detection and prevention of cancer in both our active and retired San Francisco firefighters. And now for a little bit of an update, this in the last few months, we've expanded our outreach to a lot of District 4 in Northern California, from Santa Rosa all the way to San Jose. We will help them out if they should contract the disease also. And we plan on going throughout the whole state of California as long as this runs smoothly. So the foundation was formed. The first thing we did was to go back to UCSF with the urology department and conduct a study looking for the possibility that we did have elevated rates of bladder cancer in our profession. So we used a bioengineered test that looks for a specific protein in the urine called NNP22. It's a simple test, just like a pregnancy test, where you put four drops of urine on a slide, wait 30 minutes, and see if you're positive, you get that positive red line up. That one test we caught, we screened about 1,100 firefighters, both active and retired, and we caught three firefighters with transitional cell carcinoma. One active, two retired, and one of the retired, Tony Sacco, who I worked with, had transitional cell carcinoma in his right renal pelvis, the same exact cancer that I did, and we had worked in the same firehouse together. So that was two of us in the same plot, in the same place, where that particular type of cancer is normally found in one in 100,000 people. Dr. Stoller said, you definitely have a problem. And as firefighters, we never thought that bladder cancer would be something that we would be contracting, but he explained how, you know, this whole process works, how when you're exposed to these particular types of chemicals, your kidneys do not flush these chemicals out of the system. They could sit in the bladder and cause these mutations within that tissue of the bladder, and this cancer begins to form. So we now, on an every other year basis, we continue to do this particular type of examination. And because of it, we've identified 12 firefighters, both active and retired, over the last 15 years now that have had this type of cancer that at the time of the tests, they did not know they had. So it's worked out well. And it's gone from that to working very hard to get the firefighters cancer presumptive law accepted in San Francisco. And that happened in 2014 after we took part in the NIOSH study with both Philadelphia and Chicago firefighters, where we had a cohort of approximately 30,000 firefighters, and they looked at the causes of death dating back to 1950. The surprising thing was when we first met with the epidemiologist from NIOSH in San Francisco, they told us up front, we do not think we're going to find elevated rates of cancer in your profession because you're considered to be a healthier group of individuals. You take better care of yourself, you see doctors more often, And we, our board just smiled at each other, and we said, let's wait and see what happens. This was in 2010.
You knew at that time, you've already kind of looked at your department and did a survey to see active and retired members, like what the numbers are showing. So you kind of already had an idea, like, no, there's something here, right?
Yeah, we had elevated rates, and you're exactly right. We just sent out a survey, and we were totally surprised at how many firefighters that responded to the survey had cancer, just about half. But that's the firefighters that responded. And we're not talking about the firefighters that had already lost their life to the disease. So it was pretty eye-opening. After a four-year period with NIOSH, they were totally thorough. They went through every journal all the way back 50 years. They said you do have elevated rates of various forms of cancer. And the way they traced it back is they looked at these elevated rates and they followed that firefighter's career. And not to our surprise, but the firefighters that had the most exposures, that worked in the busiest firehouses, had the highest rates of cancers. So we've been involved in multiple studies. We put together the first study looking at women in our profession. And we have elevated rates of breast cancer in San Francisco. We also have the highest population of female firefighters of any major metropolitan department in the United States. And the cancer rate is six times the national average for the women that are on the job between 40 and 50 years old. So we knew we had a problem there too. And that study is still ongoing. We made that direct correlation between these chemical exposures and the elevated rates of cancer in the women. So with the NIOSH study complete, at that time we had Mayor Sam Lee in San Francisco, and Mayor Lee signed into legislation and accepted the cancer presumptive law for the city of San Francisco. And we all know that this cancer presumptive law can be set aside by a particular municipality if they don't want to accept it. And it's amazing that some cities still will battle you when you're diagnosed with this disease. But San Francisco accepted it. And now if a firefighter in San Francisco contracts any form of cancer and they have at least 5 years on the job, and that's a pretty short latency period, it is considered to be a job-related cancer and they are taken care of on the workers' compensation program.
They don't fight them at all. They go, you're good.
You're good. And from that point on, that's where we step in, help them navigate the whole system, help them with the best doctors for the particular type of cancer that they might be diagnosed with. We've had firefighters go to MD Anderson in Texas, to Sloan Kettering back in New York, to the Mayo Clinic in Arizona, but the vast majority go to UCSF in San Francisco and some to Stanford. So the program has worked out really well. And financially, we've done really well. We have what's called combined charities in San Francisco. The firefighters have the opportunity to donate money each payroll period. And we ask them just to if they could only donate $4 or $5 each payroll period, it makes a big difference for us. So they have done that. And we're at the point now where a firefighter, if it's active or retired, and if there's some particular type of problem with workers' comp, which we haven't had so far, but for the retired guys, it's a different ballgame, we'll pay up to $1,000 for that firefighter, active or retired, to get a second opinion. We pay up to $3,000 for genomic testing if that particular type of test is denied. We pay up to $2,500 for travel expenses if a firefighter has to go out of state or within the state and has to stay at a hotel for any period of time. And this is all done with not one of our board of directors, including myself, receiving any money. We all volunteer our time. And that's another reason why people have contributed to our organization too, because they know just about 99.5% of the money that we do bring in goes right back into the firefighters. And we also now help firefighters, San Francisco firefighters' first family members too. And we've had quite a few patients in that direction. So the organization has done really well. There's still a lot of stuff going on now with the lawsuits with PFAS chemicals and PFOAs. And we're heavily involved with the flame retardant chemicals, the polybrominated diphenyl ethers, giving testimony at both at the state and the national level. And I actually made some good change there too in the state of California. So it's well.
I wanted to ask you kind of regarding that. So you were kind of really in that driver's seat for the flame retardants and doing the toxic hot seat, which is a great film out there. If you haven't seen it out there, listeners, knowing what you've done there, do you see a lot of parallels with this PFAS world now?
Absolutely. Once again, you're going up to a multi-billion dollar industry in the chemical industry. And at every corner, when you think you've got some headway, they have the amazing ability to twist the story somehow and introduce a different chemical with a different name that basically still does the same stuff. So it's a whack-a-mole type of situation where you just have to keep on pounding at them until it gets to the point where a state, like we have here, Proposition 65 in the state of California, where the state will sue the particular companies, and they will not allow those chemicals to be used in the state. So that's how PBDEs, those flame retardant chemicals, were eliminated in the state of California with Prop 65, as well as legislation drawn up multiple times by, at that time, State Senator Mark Leno. Becoming advocates, especially for firefighters, when they get involved in this type of legislation, people listen to what you have to say. We're lucky we're in a profession that all we do is we help people. And every time you fly out that door, we're going out to help somebody. And people realize that, and they're willing to listen and pay close attention to what's happening and what we have to say as far as these types of chemical exposures, not only affecting us, but affecting the general population.
It's beautiful. Some of the other things that I love that you're doing, because you're able to look at studies or conduct studies with your department that have been kind of neglected. They haven't been on, they've been kind of on the back burner, if you will. So like what you said about the women is one thing, because they've been kind of neglected, but also there's a lot of wildfire studies that you guys are involved in as well. Is that correct?
Say, what type of fires?
The wildland firefighters.
Oh, absolutely. That's a whole nother category that we got involved with a few years ago. When you take a look, and you know as well as I do, Jim, and every firefighter knows the situation, when folks are watching TV at night and watching a wildland fire, they're looking at these homes being destroyed. It might be, the firefighters are in vision, but what they don't realize is they are not protected. And when we're getting these wildland fires that go into the urban interface, where multiple structures are being burnt, okay, and the firefighter is on the line for 12 to 24 hours at a time, they are taking an ass whipping. And basically with a handkerchief over their nose or some type of maybe an N95 mask, it's not doing the trick. And we had one of our strike teams at a fire a couple of years ago up near Chico had major problems. They were one of the first strike teams on scene and took a beating. And for 24 hours straight, a lot of them had severe headaches. And that's when we started this particular study, where we were able to draw the blood right in Chico while the firefighters were still basically at the fire scene. And that study has just been completed, and it did show that they had high levels of various types of chemicals, lead, mercury, just an array of stuff that's much higher than the general population. So the reason to do this type of study is to create an impetus for change. And that impetus is, okay, how do we better protect the men and women that are going to be out on these wildland fires? Is that our foundation's decision or any of the no, it's not. It's, division chiefs, battalion chiefs, chiefs of department, the NFPA, putting their heads together and coming up with an idea. This is what we've got to do to protect our firefighters now with these conflagrations now occurring every year, and it seems like it's only getting worse.
No, it's huge. And I love the fact that everything you're doing, it benefits the men and women of San Francisco Fire Department, but it's so much bigger than that as well. I mean, because, you know, whether it's the NIOSH study or the Wild Land or the women's test, I mean, it helps all of us out. So,
and that's what we hope to do. We've got a new website out now. We overhauled the whole website. We've got a great company that does our input for our website. So those studies are all accessible to any department. And the studies that we do too are science-based studies. They are not studies that we say we think here is a problem. We show the direct correlation between whatever the types of chemicals that are involved and the types of cancer that a person contracts. We're lucky to have organizations like the Silent Spring Institute, UCSF, UC Berkeley, and scientists that work hard to show that those direct correlations. And it makes it a lot easier for at a department to accept a workers' comp related type of injury due to cancer, where you go to a QME, a qualified medical examiner, and they deny it right away, and then an epidemiologist might back him up or her up, and by saying that you know we cannot make that correlation. Well, we've got some evidence now that says there is a direct correlation to many things that as far as these cancer exposure, elevated risk of cancer that we're getting.
Yeah, very nice. So let me ask you this. What's kind of next? What's next on the agenda that you guys would love to look at and kind of you, cause you continuously evolve. It's quite evident. So yeah. you know, what's coming down the pipeline?
We've made some real, in the last 6 months, we've made some real good ties with Stanford. They are very interested, Stanford's a medical facility. They are very interested in the health of firefighters and looking at the types of exposures that we have over and above what other organizations have. And the good thing about this is they have funding there where it's not costing us $100,000 or $200,000 to conduct a study. A lot of it is money that is donated by through philanthropy, and that money is funneled and put into these types of studies. And it's working out really well. The big thing right now that that Stanford is interested in is the PFAS chemicals, because it not only affects us, it's affecting the general population. The folks back east with the water problems and in the drinking water, it's found in almost every. I shouldn't say almost. It's in all of our bodies. To what degree is the thing that is serious? And in firefighters, the one real good direct study we have right now is the women's study, where it shows, and that this was just within the last 6 months made public, that they had elevated rates of PFAS chemicals, these women that are on the job. So looking at that, and it's funny how you go through one type of study and it leads into another type of study, and they sort of piggyback on each other. And you can really delve deep into this topic. And I think it's very interesting for people in the field of science to see making these correlations and coming up with ways that will not only help us, but again, the general population.
Yeah, that's absolutely great stuff. Keep up the great work. you're retired from one job. You're not allowed to retire from this. You got to do it forever.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Jim.
There's too much good that comes out of it. So
yeah, it's worth.
You're not even allowed to take a vacation anymore.
Well, as long as I got that phone in my back pocket, it follows me around.
I know the feeling. Yeah. Well, let me start to get you out of here on this. I have a thing I call the 25 questions, and I'm not going to make you actually do 25 questions, but sure. It's a list of 25. And I'm going to have you pick out a random number, and there's a question related to each number. And we'll just, these are more fun kind of stuff like that.
But sure.
Before you even do that, I'm going to give you, because this is going to be coming out right around Christmas time, I want to give you one that's not on the list. This is a bonus one. So,
okay. So
right away, is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
I'm saying yes.
All right. No more discussion. We're good with that answer. All right. That's always a fun one.
Okay.
What's how about throw out a number for me and we'll go from there.
How about 8?
What's your favorite book?
Favorite book? Cannery Row.
Okay. I have no idea what that is. Could you expound on that?
It's a story by John Steinbeck about Cannery Row in the old days when it was, there were sardines running through Monterey Bay. The reason I enjoy it is my aunt, my great aunt, lived on Cannery Row, and I spent a lot of my youth down there during the summertime. And the story is true to life because she opened her door at nighttime to, they called the bums of Cannery Row, and she would open her door and they would sleep on her floor and then go back to work in the morning. And Steinbeck talks about this. It's a great story. And I got to see it. I was only a small kid, but it was something that was really interesting to me, and it still is to this day.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. All right. See, now I'm showing my age. So thank you for that. Thank you.
Sure.
How about another number?
What else? 17.
Favorite actor or actress?
Oh, God. Let's see. Actor, I'm going to have to go with Al Pacino.
That's a good one.
I love that guy. Scent of a Woman. I can watch that every day. It's something that was really done well, and he's just a super good actor. He might be a little bit of a strange kind of guy, but super good actor.
No debate for me. You're good there. All right. How about let's try one more.
Okay, 21.
All right. Favorite album.
Favorite album. I'm going to have to say The Temptations' Greatest Hits.
Great.
Without a doubt, you know, I was a product of the 60s, and, you know, a lot of guys liked the Beach Boys and the Stones and the Beatles. I liked Smokey Robinson. I liked the Temptations. I liked the Four Tops, but the Temptations were my favorite.
Did you ever make your way to Motown?
I did not, but I got to see the Temptations 3 times. There was a nightclub in the city called Mr. D's on Broadway, and every time they were there, I was there, and they were awesome. Yeah.
Tony, what version of the Temptations were there that you saw?
I saw the original.
The original.
Yeah, I saw the originals. Yeah. Yeah. David Ruffin at the lead, man. It was the best. Yeah.
That is so cool. You know, because I saw with Otis Williams was
Otis Williams, yeah, yeah.
He's the only one that's left. So yeah. When I saw them, and it's been a couple times, but it's been more recent. I mean, that's it. It's still the Temptations, but it's not the Temptations you saw.
Oh no, they were the best, without a doubt.
If you ever get a chance to go to Detroit, seeing Motown is something else.
I'll have to do it. Yeah.
Doing the tour, and then you're in the studio, and I remember actually doing the Temptation.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah. I love that that answer of you.
Appreciate it.
All right. Well, where can everybody find the foundation and also yourself if they have any questions?
Sure. Yeah. To get access to me or the foundation, one of the easiest things to do is just to go right to our website. It's the initials of our organization, sffcpf.org. And that'll bring up the website. My contact information is there, as well as any email that's sent through there goes to me directly, as well as a couple of other board members. So if somebody wants to get a hold of me, that's the way to do it.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you, sir, for taking the time out this
Absolutely,
evening.
Absolutely, Jim.
I guess it's my evening. It's your afternoon.
Let's see. What do we got? It's 4:30. Almost time for 5 o'clock's coming around for a little glass of wine.
Yeah, and I'm going to be getting ready for bed. I still got to work tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. Well, Tony, thanks again. He's Tony Stefani. I'm Jim Bernica, and we are out of time. So
thank you, Jim. Take care.